Hello, and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Nolan Giles. Each episode, we turn our gaze to overlooked design stories, and today we've picked up a brand new title that's all about one great design nation. Japanese Design Since 1945, A Complete Sourcebook is a new title from American architect and design writer Naomi Pollock. Let's hear from the author about the spoke chair, one piece of furniture that's featured in this book, and we'll learn a little bit about the designer behind it.
In relatively recent years, Japanese design has become extremely popular around the world. You know, if you walk into any museum store, one is likely to have access to a very wide array of things that have come out of Japan. But there's rarely much information about the designers. I really wanted to get into the personalities of these people, understand their background, understand their motives, understand what they were trying to accomplish and what they were up against. I first encountered the spoke chair while I was at the library of the Musashino Art University. I got to the top of the stairs, and there was literally the most beautiful chair I'd ever seen. The back is slightly rounded, but it has spindles that splay out from a bar at the top. So it has this kind of abstract reference to the Windsor chair. And of course, Japan has had this love affair with the Windsor chair since the early part of the 20th century. So it has this beautiful reference to the Windsor chair. But then the base is this very large oval, upholstered oval, and it sits on four squat splayed legs. It's a beautiful object, you know, the height of the back balanced by the broadness of the seat, and then the proportions of it, that it's so low to the ground. As a Westerner, this really, it intrigued me. Created by a designer named Katsuhei Toyoguchi, an early furniture designer in Japan. He started his career prior to World War II. This chair was created by him after the war. What he really wanted was a chair that he could sit on. His eye level would be able to meet either someone else sitting in a chair or someone seated on tatami. So the chair was first produced early 60s sometime. That whole push towards the westernization of living spaces started right after the war. There was an urgent need to build not just homes and apartments, but everything that went into them. And so it was sort of a chance to recalibrate. And the Japanese government came up with this plan to differentiate rooms in a way that had not been done before. Previously, everything was flexible and multifunctional, and here they were giving a prescription that was really influenced by the West to create distinct areas for certain functions. Western-style furniture was being integrated with the Japanese lifestyle based on the floor. That's a very challenging idea when people are used to living a certain way, sleeping a certain way, eating a certain way, and then to introduce not just the space, but the actual furnishings that their bodies are going to interact with. I decided I needed to investigate this chair, and in fact bought one and then lived with it for a while. And then when this book came around, of course, I needed to go to the factory and get to the bottom of this. I went up to Yamagata Prefecture in northern Japan to go to the factory. Tendo Moko, it's called in Japanese. Tendo is how they refer to themselves in English. Like many Japanese factories, this one started just around the time of the war and then really picked up after the war. They still keep the chair in production, which is wonderful. I toured the factory floor, and there's all kinds of machines and people running around and so forth. But, of course, the place that really intrigued me the most was the area where the new recruits had just come in. Here were these young people. There were probably, 10 or 12 of them, learning the skills of furniture making, and they would spend the next 40 years perfecting those skills. So here's this factory doing these mass production furnishings, but with the skill and the mindset and training the eye and the hand, especially, as if they were traditional craftspeople. The body of the book is profiles of over 70 designers. My own personal rule was I had to find someone, if I couldn't interview the designer themselves, who knew the designer personally. So maybe it was a colleague, someone who worked in their studio, or a critic, or a curator, or a family member. Mr. Toyoguchi designed a lot of furniture. He's no longer living. He's been gone for quite a while, but I was able to speak with a number of people, including his son. And he explained that his father approached design more as a science than an art, which is a point of view one doesn't often hear. And that's also interesting because in the 60s and 70s, the science part of things, compared to what we could do now, the modeling and so forth, was pretty rudimentary. Those kinds of investigations were very much a part of Toyoguchi-san's way of working. There's a well-known anecdote about him going to an area of Japan where there was a lot of snow, building these benches out of snow and then actually sitting in them, and then taking measurements of the depressions of his and his friend's buttocks so they could create chairs that would actually be comfortable. You have to really, really, really like collecting to do a book like this, because it was very much a hunt and peck process. You know, quite astounding that, you know, there is no central design collective or museum or archive. It was a bit of a, you know, a wild goose chase running around the country and trying, as I said, to track down family members or a small museum that might have posters by that graphic designer or the factory in Kyushu, or it was a real labor of love, but love is the operative word here because I really enjoy doing this sort of thing.
My thanks to Naomi Pollock. Her new book, Japanese Design Since 1945, A Complete Sourcebook, is available now and published by Thames and Hudson. She was speaking to this show's producer, Maylee Evans. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program airing on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time. I'm Nolan Giles. Thank you for listening and goodbye.